Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Did you realize Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe? Everything that you know, everything you see, when you look up into the sky at night and you see the stars and the moon, when you look around the world that we live in and you see all that you see, and even the lenses through which you see it, he made it.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian brings a new series titled The Story of God. Join us as Pastor Brian brings his teaching on Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, in a message titled, Jesus, Creator and Lord of All. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So today we're taking a brief look at creation, the creation of all things, and we're going to look at the how of creation, and we're going to look at the why of creation, and then we're going to look at how this should affect us, how this should move us and speak to us and encourage us and comfort us today. Now, we just read, as you noted, the creation account from Genesis chapter 1, and many people are of the impression that this is the only place in Scripture where we have this account of creation or statements about creation or the claim from God that he created. But that isn't the case. You find this repeated over and over and over again in Scripture. The Psalms are especially packed with creation references, but God speaks through the prophets about the fact that he created. He basically speaks through the prophets and sort of takes us all back to what we just read here in Genesis. Through the prophet Isaiah, for example, the Lord said this, I have made the earth and created man on it. My hands stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is no other. So here, once again, clearly stated, I made the heaven and the earth, I made human beings, I put them on the earth. And like I said, this is repeated many times over throughout the pages of the Old Testament. But it is also repeated over and over in the pages of the New Testament. But the one difference in the New Testament is that the New Testament specifies that it was God the Son who is the agent of creation. So what the New Testament tells us is that when we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, the God that is being referred to there specifically as the agent of creation is God the Son, Jesus Christ. And so John, that's how he opens his gospel. Some of you are familiar with the very first words of the Gospel of John. Let me read them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. So John is basically saying, so the Word is a reference to Jesus. In verse 14, that becomes crystal clear because it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But the Word was with God, alongside God, but also God himself. So this is where we see the hints, like we spoke about before, the hints of the plurality or the triunity of God. But it's not just here in the Gospel of John. Like I said, all throughout the New Testament, just a couple of quick examples. Colossians, we read in chapter 1, in Christ all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So everything created by him. And then one of my favorites, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This will be the last one. We read there, God in the last days has spoken to us. God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Wow. Did you realize Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe? Everything that you know, everything you see, when you look up into the sky at night and you see the stars and the moon, when you look around the world that we live in and you see all that you see, and even the lenses through which you see it, he made it. That's the claim of Scripture. God is the creator. So, as I said, what we want to look at is how did God do this? And then why? And then thirdly, what is its application? So how did God create? So when we read there in the first verse, in the beginning, God created, the word created in the Hebrew is the word bara. And the word bara means to create from nothing. To create from nothing. So there is a term that is often used. It comes from the Latin, but the term is ex nihilo. And ex nihilo is the Latin way of saying from nothing. So when we read that God created everything, and everything that there is came from God, he created it not out of himself, as some people would think, which would then mean that everything is God and God is everything. That's called pantheism or panentheism. And that's not what we're talking about here. Nor are we talking about God taking existing matter, say matter that has always been, and then developing that matter into something. No, God created all the material which he would assemble in this process. He created it originally from nothing. And as we see, he speaks it into existence. Verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. And then each time you have a day of creation that is spelled out, it always begins with, and God said. Now, here, this creation account is written for at least two reasons. It's written to give all humanity for all time a record of the origin of all things. And so it's written for us so we can know how everything came to be. But it's also written for the people who originally received it to give them the proper understanding of how everything came into being, in contrast to the ideas of the people that surrounded them. So Moses writes the first five books of the Bible. I personally believe that Moses, when it comes to the book of Genesis, I feel myself that Moses compiled material that had already been written and passed on from generation to generation, going all the way back to the very first person, Adam. And so Moses is putting the record together in Genesis, and this is where he starts. But he's doing this in order to give the people of Israel an understanding of who their God is in contrast to the gods of the surrounding nations. So The creation account from the other ancient peoples, it's radically different from the biblical creation account. And I want to read a portion to you from Christopher Watkin. I've quoted from him before. He's written an excellent book called Biblical Critical Theory. And listen to what he says. I'll try to read it slow, and in a way you can really grab hold of it. It's a bit of a long quote here, but I think it's worth the read. So he says this, when you consider other ancient creation accounts, Genesis is a peculiar specimen. Other ancient stories are filled with blood and gore, worlds created in the conflict between warring gods. Genesis, by contrast, spares us the violence and conflict. Indeed, there is no one for God to be in conflict with, no rival to play the antagonist in his grand creation plan. Stealing away the sun he puts in the sky, or pulling up his newly created trees and plants. In contrast to other ancient creation myths, Genesis is remarkably calm and ordered. The universe is not created in war and through fighting, but in peace through speaking. He goes on to say, outside the Psalms, Genesis 1 is one of the most tightly structured chapters in the Bible. There are multiple repeated phrases. Here's the examples. And God said, and it was so. And he called according to its kind. And he saw it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning. So many, in fact, that almost no verse of the chapter is free from them. And then he says this. This ordered, rhythmed, systematic structure carries two messages. It tells us that the universe did not lurch into being through conflict or stumble into being by chance. God had a plan, and that plan faced no opposition. This further reinforces the pattern laid down by God, the Trinity. The bedrock reality of our universe is peace, harmony, and love, not war, discord, and violence. Now, so all of the ancient theories about origins were either one of two things. They were either the warring of the gods, and this is how the universe was created, as the gods would war against one another and slice each other up, and then one part of their body would become this and another part of their body would become that. This is what you read in the Babylonian creation accounts, and most all of the others are the same. Or there's the idea that it just all happened by chance, the idea that matter is eternal, and it just, it's sort of just like the naturalistic evolutionary idea that we have today. And if you really look at the ideas that are put forth by those who hold to a naturalistic evolutionary perspective on creation, they have also a violent scenario, not with warring gods, but with various chemicals and molecules and all of those kinds of things clashing and exploding and all of this. This is how it all comes into being. I mean, the Big Bang Theory is, it's just simply that. It's an explosion, a violent explosion that ends up resulting in everything that we know. And so we see the ancient ideas are still with us in various forms today. Now, eight times in Genesis we read, as and God said. And then, like I already mentioned, there and God said, and then it's followed by all that he created on each of the days of creation. So this is what the Bible says. God spoke creation into existence. That's what he did. He spoke it into existence. Now, think about that for a minute. What does that look like? Wow, God speaks creation into existence. C.S. Lewis really helped me to just at least get a picture of what this might be like. He wrote this. He said, God invented and made the universe like a man making a picture or composing a tune. He made the world, that space and time, heat and cold, and all the colors and taste, and all the animals and vegetables are things that God made up out of his head as a man makes up a story. Oh, I love that. That, for me, that really helped me to get like, okay, yes, that's what it is. I mean, think of any great painting, that you might admire, or a sculptor, or a piece of music, or a piece of literature. You know, what are these? These things originated in the minds of people, and then they brought them into existence. That's exactly what God did. But of course, God brought living things. He breathed into it life, the breath of life. So we're not just statues. We're not just lifeless forms, but God creates all things out of his own mind. He speaks them into existence. Now, here's another sort of a philosophical pondering. Have you ever wondered why God created the universe by speaking rather than thinking? And this is an interesting question if you understand how people have thought of God, even in more recent times. So there's been the idea, for those who have rejected long ago, the idea that there are many gods and warring gods and all of that. But for those maybe more like an Aristotle, who would believe that there's a prime mover. So there's some being out there who's responsible for everything. But in Aristotle's perspective, it's a mind. So he refers to it as the divine nous, or thought thinking itself. And when you think of people who are what you call deist, so a deist comes from the word deity, which means a god. But a deist is a person who thinks of God in terms of like a great mind. So, you know, people talk about the supreme being. So that's it. But the supreme being is a mind. When my youngest son was a kid, one of his favorite TV shows was Pinky and the Brain. And Pinky and the Brain was pretty good, actually. I enjoyed a few episodes of it. But, you know, Pinky's this little guy that, you know, runs around doing this. And the brain is just a brain in this, encased in this glass thing. And the brain's controlling everything. And that's how some people think of God. Just this mind, this thought. But that's not how the Bible presents God. It's interesting. So, two observations taken from what the scripture says about God speaking things into existence. God speaking the universe into being sets, number one, a pattern that will be repeated throughout the Bible. God's words bring life. God's words bring life. God speaks life into existence. And that, again, it's a pattern that we see all throughout Scripture. Secondly, thoughts are private contemplation, but spoken words are public communication, and communication implies community and relationship. Speaking is inherently social, whereas silent thinking is fundamentally private. So when you go back to like a deist, for example, a deist would acknowledge, and these are people like, you know, many of the founding fathers of this country were deist. Some were theist, and some were actually Christian. But many of them were deists. They believed in this great universal mind. But all deists, like all of those we talked about before who are believing in a single person God, you do not have access to that mind. You don't know what the mind is thinking. We all know from our own experience that our minds are private. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on in our minds. And thank God they're private, because if the stuff gets out that goes on in our heads, we're going to be embarrassed and even worse sometimes, right? But how do we relate to each other? How do we go from that privacy to a social interaction? We do it through speaking. And so what we're being told indirectly is, again, that God is relational. He speaks. The God who made the universe is a relational God. He spoke it into existence. He just didn't think it up in his mind. So how did God create? He said, "Let there be light." Let there be light. It's amazing when you think about, you know, fast forward to the New Testament, fast forward to the life and ministry of Jesus. And you see Jesus at times doing that very thing. He's just speaking things into existence. Some of you remember the story of the wedding feast that Jesus attended, a wedding feast in a little town of Cana in the area of Galilee. And he goes to the feast, and what has happened in the middle of the feast, the wine runs out. And oh no, what do we do? And Jesus's mother says to Jesus, the wine has run out. And Jesus is like, so? what are you telling me that for? At this point, he hadn't yet come to that place of revealing who he was. But anyway, to make a long story short, what does Jesus say to do? He says, take these water pots, 6 water pots of stone, fill them with water to the brim. They did that. And then have the steward come and take from the water pots. And when they took from the water pots, they found that it was the best wine they had ever tasted. How did the water become wine? Well, just the same way that the universe came into being. God spoke it. Jesus spoke it into being. So that's how God created. There's so much more that could be said, but obviously that's not our intention today. Here's the other question. Why? Why did God create? And we're going to look at why did God create you and me? We're going to look at why did God create the universe, the heavens? Why did God create the earth? But let's start with us. Why did God create humans? Now, once again, in the ancient world, the idea was that the gods created humans because they needed someone to do work for them. So humans were created to be slaves of God. That is not anything that we see about the God of the Bible. So humans were not created because God needed slaves to work for him, nor were we created because God was lonely and needed a companion or companions. Nor were we created in order to worship God so that he could be fulfilled. Well, some people have that idea. Well, God needs people to worship him. Well, actually, God needs nothing. So he doesn't create the universe, the world, me and you. He doesn't create us because he needs anything from us. He creates us because he wants to share something with us. Now, but to answer this idea that God created somehow out of need, which would have been an idea that was held by the philosophers in the first century, we find Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts, chapter 17. We find him on the Areopagus. The Areopagus is in Athens. It's Mars Hill. It's the place where the philosophers of the day gathered to philosophize. And Paul comes into the city of Athens. He sees how the city is just overrun with idols. He's grieved at the idolatry before him. But when he gets a chance to stand in front of these cultural leaders, these philosophers, he says, you know, I've observed as I've been going through the city, you are very religious. He said, I noticed that you even have a plaque to the unknown God. So they wanted to cover all the bases. Just in case we missed one, we'll put up a plaque to the unknown God, and the ones we missed can be under that category. Paul says, I saw that. The plaque to the unknown God. He said, that's the God I want to talk to you about. And then he goes on and he says this. The God I want to talk to you about is the God who made everything. He says, the God who made the world and everything in it. He's the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything.
We have Pastor Brian Brodersen in the studio today. He's going to update us with an umbrella ministry.
Yes, Kate, it's great to be with you today. As some of our listeners, I think many probably know, at the beginning of 2025, mm-hmm. I stepped away from my lead role at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And now my wife and I, we have developed a separate ministry called Echoes of Mercy. And so that's our umbrella ministry for Back to Basics Radio, for Gracious Words, for Women Worth Knowing. So all of it is going to be housed there under echoesofmercy.com. Echoes of Mercy has a story behind it, and we'll let listeners know as we go on what the story is with that. But we're excited. We're launching out really independently of our church, and so we're looking to see who would want to partner with us as we carry on the ministry of teaching and conferences and podcast and all of the things that we do.
Oh, it sounds exciting. Thank you for listening to backtobasicsradio.com, but we also have echoesofmercy.com. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian. Back to Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Brodersen.